And the way that you see people dressed in Walmart today is they look like they get up out of bed in their pajamas and take off to Walmart. Some people don't seem to be concerned about their appearance, but I think generally speaking, most people are concerned about their appearances, especially when they are viewed in sight of being moral and upright. Most people want to consider themselves that they are moral and upright, even when deep down they know that they are not morally upright. Here Jesus is warning the Pharisees about cleaning the outside and not cleaning the inside. We just read in this passage where Jesus warned them, you worry more about your outward appearance and the persona that you want people to perceive about you, but inwardly you are corrupt. He called them hypocrites because of the way they live. The Pharisees had this idea that you do as I say, but not as I do. And Jesus even told the disciples, do what the Pharisees tell you to do according to the law, but don't act like the Pharisees. Now, of which of the Pharisees, they were often guilty of doing this very thing. We see this taught in Matthew chapter 23, and in that same passage, you see them appearing to be righteous, but they were full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. So to avoid hypocrisy, we need to clean the outside. And we need to make sure that the inside is clean as well. So, to do this, we do it by beginning to cleanse ourselves, first of all, through conversion. And that happens by being born again. In John chapter 3, you have Jesus speaking to a man by the name of Nicodemus. And here he tells Nicodemus that this new birth is something that is necessary for him to have this conversion, this to be spiritually cleansed all over again. And in verse 5, this new birth, he says, involves the Spirit and water. Well, Titus chapter 3 and verse 5 tells us the same thing. And it also tells us that the Word of God is necessary in becoming converted to Christianity. So, when we look at being born again, naturally it's going to involve obeying the gospel. The word that Jesus preached and his disciples preached causes rebirth and is proclaimed in the gospel. Go with me, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1, we notice, beginning in verse 24, here Peter writes, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Here Peter is telling us that this gospel that was preached to society is what brings us to this conversion. It requires obedience to this word that's being preached to society. So when society wants to live morally and upright, it requires being converted by the word and to the word. This good news that Jesus preached is what is recorded for us throughout the Gospels and then recorded for us throughout the epistles that the apostles wrote. In Mark's account of the Great Commission in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, Jesus tells the disciples there to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But you see, this is the problem that we have with those that want to consider themselves to be moral and upright today. Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. Believes what? Believes this word. Believes this word. But our denominational friends today say, well, now that's not the way that I read it. They say, I read it this way: I believe and I'm saved. And then I'm baptized sometime later. If you want to believe in Jesus, and I encourage you to listen to the radio program this coming Sunday morning, because that's what we're going to talk about. It's where we're going to spend eternity, and it's based upon following what Jesus taught. If you want to have eternal life, if you want to be converted, it requires you to love Jesus and obey Jesus, simply put. So Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So he says in Mark 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You know, I'm not an English scholar. And it don't take an English scholar to figure out what Jesus said here. 1 + 2 = 3. He that believeth and is baptized, what? Will be saved. So here you have Jesus giving you the simplicity of the gospel. So if you want to be moral and you want to be upright, then you have to be converted by the gospel to the gospel. And I don't like doing this while I'm preaching, but so be it. So here you have a message that includes several things that we're going to notice. The first thing this message includes is faith. Faith. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 11 tells us the definition of faith. That it's the evidence of things hoped for, or it's everything that we have in the gospel that we can't see. You don't see God, but you believe in God. Verse 6 tells us that without this faith, it's impossible to please God. So here Jesus says you have to have faith. But it also, the Bible tells us, in order to be converted, you have to repent. So repentance is required. Now what that means is you can no longer live the way that you did in your old life. Classic example of that would be Saul. On the road to Damascus, he saw the light that shone down round about him, and Jesus spoke to him. Asked him, why are you kicking against the goads? It's hard for you to persecute me. Who are you, Lord? Go into the city, he's told, and you'll be told there what you must do. Our denominational friends again would say that Saul was saved right there. But that's not the case. He was told when he got into the city of Damascus what he must do. And in that, he was showing repentance. But also it requires baptism. He that believeth and is baptized will be saved. You look at passages like Acts chapter 2, when Peter preached that great sermon on the day of Pentecost. And he kept telling the people, after giving them a history lesson about the Old Testament, nation of Israel, and he come forward and he says, you crucified the Son of God. This is fresh on their minds. He pointed his finger at them and he said, you crucified the Son of God. And the response is, what must we do? Peter's answer was, repent and be baptized. We see that repeated many times throughout the book of Acts. So now, when one obeys the gospel in faith, in repentance, and in baptism, then their sins are washed away. Washed away through the blood of Christ. When Christ died upon the cross, when his body was nailed to the cross, and his blood was shed, that's when we come into contact with the blood of Christ, is through baptism. In Acts 22 and verse 16, Paul there is recounting his conversion at the hands of Ananias. And he's told there to arise and wash away thy sins. Notice that didn't happen on the road to Damascus. It happened in Damascus. He was told what to do. That is truly cleansing the inside. But this cleansing has to continue. This cleansing not only takes place through conversion, by being born again, but it takes place through sanctification. And what I mean by that is you have to make a change in your life. You have to put off the old man. Sanctification involves becoming holy. to become set apart. So again, this involves the repentance. If you're going to be a Christian, if you want to live a moral and upright life, that means you've got to put aside that old man. Paul would use the word mortify, put to death, that old man. You can no longer live that lifestyle. You can't run with your old rowdy friends anymore. You have to put them aside and live a sanctified life for Christ. You have to make a change. Paul would address it this way, taking off the old coat and putting on a new coat. You have to make that change. It is a choice that you have to make. Nobody can make that choice for you. This requires some serious addressing of our lives, of the things in our life that would defile a man. Go back, if you will, to Mark chapter 7 with me. In Mark chapter 7, in verses 20 through 23, here Jesus says, "What comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." Now, how do these things come from within? Comes from within the heart, the spiritual side of man. And Jesus is saying that you have to make some serious attitude adjustments. If you want to live a moral and upright life, you can't live an adulterous life. If you want to live a moral and upright life, you have to put away everything in your life that would defile you spiritually. And this is an ongoing process for Christians. It's not a one and done deal. It's something that every Christian has to work at on a daily basis. Some people might say, "Well, I could never live up to that. I could never begin to be a Christian because I could never change." There are Christians today that struggle every day with problems, with temptations, with certain defilements. If they can do it and overcome them daily, why can't we? Why can't you? Everybody can do it. This is an ongoing process of putting off the old man, Colossians chapter 3. But when we put off the old man, it requires us to make another action of putting on the new man. It's not enough to get rid of the old man. It's not enough to say, "Okay, I've been baptized, I've washed away the old man, I'm done." That's like saying, "I've got my ticket punched, I'm good to go. I'm ready for heaven." No. It requires constant work, just like we've just said. In Matthew chapter 12, in verses 43 through 45, here Jesus talks about an unclean spirit that returns. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, "I will return to my house from which I came." And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it be, so shall it also be with this wicked generation. Jesus is saying here that just because you've been baptized, that just because you've been converted, does not mean that your road is going to be easy. Does not mean that your life is going to be easy. It is a constant struggle sometimes. Sometimes it's more of a struggle for others than it is for some. But it is a constant work. It's a work in progress until that trumpet sounds or our life ends before then. We constantly have to be working to put on the new man. These old demons that Jesus talks about here in Matthew 12 may come back. And the way it talks here, they may come back with a vengeance. That one old demon comes back, finds that the house has been cleaned, your house, but he goes and gets seven more demons to come back with him. And then that person is in worse shape than he was before he obeyed the gospel. We need to replace the old man by putting on the new man. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 20 through 24, that's what Paul talks about. In Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 20, "But have you not so learned Christ? If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." See, Paul even tells us, let me ask you a question. Do you think Paul ever had to fight against his own demons? And if Paul did, and he was able to do that, why can't we? And yet some people struggle from day to day. And sometimes, because of the struggle, Christians are ready and easily giving up. But we need to keep pressing forward. And what this does is it produces fruit in our lives, the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, Paul speaks of this fruits of the Spirit. Beginning in verse 22, he says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." And he lists those works of the flesh in verses 19 through 21. And he says there that you can overcome them. You can put those things to death and live a life that produces the fruits of the Spirit. But again, it takes effort. It takes effort. So the final question I have for you is, are we clean on the inside while dirty on the outside? Or are we clean on the outside while dirty on the inside? If you are in the sound of my voice and you find yourself struggling with trials, with temptations, with the demons, if you will, of your past life, understand that Jesus is willing to help you. All you have to do is turn back to Him. All it takes is prayer and repentance. And depending on how public your sin may be, you may need to make a public confession. But if it's a sinful act between you and the Lord, then you take care of that, but just you and the Lord. But if you are in need of the prayers of the saints or the elders or myself, then feel free to call. We'll assist you. We'll assist you if you're ready to make that commitment to start putting on the new man and putting off the old man. Look to Jesus for true conversion and sanctification, or remain like the Pharisees, hypocrites, whited sepulchers. I want to thank you for joining us tonight. As I posted on Facebook this morning or this afternoon, it is a skeleton crew here tonight. Even one of our regular helpers is not here, so that may be what threw me off earlier. But we will be here Sunday morning, live in the building at 10 a.m., and it will be live stream as well. And then Sunday evening will be like Wednesday night tonight, live stream only. And again, the elders encourage you, if you don't have a 5 o'clock, I'm sorry. See, my mind is still foggy, Charles. I need all the help I can get. But the elders also have said, if you don't have a good internet service provider, then by all means, feel free to join us. When it's like this, there's more than enough room to spread out. I think it's about 20 feet between each of the five that are here tonight. So again, I want to thank you for being here, joining us. And at this time, we'll be led in our closing prayer.